Mark chapter number 2, and then I'm going to Mark chapter 4, and then I'm going to John chapter 7. That's going to be a long message. I'm just kidding about that, maybe. Mark chapter 2, Mark chapter 4, just hold your place there, and then John 7. I want to read three places real quickly and bring you a different kind of little message today. Mark chapter number 2, verse number 1, again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. Straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much about the door. And he preached the word unto them. They come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thy house. And immediately he arose, took up his bed, went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Now, look at Mark chapter 4. Now, I'm not going to take a lot of time, Mark chapter 4. But they're out on the sea. They're being tossed to and fro. And Jesus is in the bottom of the ship, sleeping. Now, if you're going through a storm, and you're in the same boat with Jesus, and he's sleeping through the storm, then it's okay for you to sleep through it. Verse 38, he was in the hind part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. They awake him. Said unto him, Master, carest not that we perish? He arose and rebuked the wind, said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Well, look at John 7. John 7, I'm going to read just one. Well, let me get there. John chapter 7. They were discussing who this Christ was. Verse 41, others say, This is the Christ, but some say, Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh from the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. Some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers, the chief priests, the Pharisees. They said unto him, Why have you not brought him? The officers answered, Never a man spake like this man. Now, in Mark chapter 2, they said, We never seen it on this fashion. Mark chapter 4 says, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the waves obey him? John chapter 7 says, Never a man spake like this man. So this morning, I'm going to try to preach to you the best I can. He's the best I've ever seen.
Amen.
He is the best that I've ever seen. Now, Michael Jordan played for the University of North Carolina. And in 1984, he joined the Chicago Bulls. And he quickly emerged as a league star, entertaining crowds with his scoring ability, his leaping ability when he illustrated it by jumping from the free throw line and coming through the air like I used to do in high school, and dunk that ball from the free throw line all the way. And man, he'd jump, and I know Dr. J did it, but anyway, Michael Jordan, he perfected that thing and dunked that ball from the free throw line, and he got the name Air Jordan. And after he started several MVPs of the year and several championships later, this is what some of the sports commentators were saying about Michael Jordan. They were saying this, said, he's the best we've ever seen. But I submit to you this morning, there's another man I want you to be introduced to that is the best that I have ever seen. I know what the sports commentators say, but the appraisal of the disciples here in Mark chapter number 2, when they tore the roof off and let that man down, they said this, they said, we've never seen it on this fashion. What they were saying is, he's the best we've ever seen. In Mark chapter number 4, they said, what manner of man is this, that the winds and the waves obey him? What they were actually saying is, he's the best we've ever seen. In John chapter number 7, they were saying, who is this Christ? Some say he's this, some say he's that. And they were divided amongst themselves, and they said, hey, why hadn't y'all laid hands on him? And then these officers said, we've never heard a man speak like this man. Right. What they were actually saying is, he's the best that I have ever seen. In verse number 12 over there, they said, we never saw it on this fashion. Listen, sometimes God works, and when he works, it overwhelms man's ability to express it. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now, just for a few minutes, I want to borrow your imagination. You're going to have to stay with me this morning, a little different, but I want to borrow your imagination, if I can, as we enter into heaven's courtroom. Court is about to be in session and called to order. We are the spectators this morning, and we see God sitting on the bench, serving as Almighty Judge. We see justice as the prosecuting attorney, and mercy as the attorney for the defense. Jesus is the defendant, and the Holy Spirit of God is the court clerk. Michael the archangel is the bailiff. And there are 12 jurymen. Faith, hope, and love, and salvation is on the jury. Redemption, repentance, regeneration, and sanctification is on the jury. Truth and holiness and peace and goodness is on the jury. And what they are listening to is evidence that Jesus claims to be the best that they've ever seen. And now we're going to hear evidence about the case. Some of the witnesses have been summoned into court to give testimony. The first witness, the judge calls his first witness, and the first witness is natural law. He's sworn in to take the stand. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth, save you God? And natural law says, I do. Mercy says, tell the court what your name is. And he says, my name is natural law. He said, well, natural law, what do you do? He says, well, I'm a watchman over the order of things. I make sure that everything runs decently and in order. It's my job to make sure that four seasons come around every year. It's my job to make sure that spring shows up in March, summer shows up in June, fall shows up in September, and winter shows up in December. He says, I make sure the flowers bloom and the showers fall and the wind blows and the sun shines. It's because of me that a brown cow can eat green grass and produce red hair and produce white milk and churn yellow butter. It's because of the law of natural. Mercy says, well, that's some good qualifications that you have. What are some of your laws? He said, well, I have the law of gravitation. That means what goes up must come down.
He says, I make sure that the planets rotate around the sun in a 360-degree cycle, and they never run into one another. He said, all the planets rotate clockwise, and one planet rotates counterclockwise, and all of it is the law of gravity. He said, I make sure all of that works properly. And Mercy says, well, do you have any laws pertaining to reproduction? He says, well, I sure do. Before man can reproduce himself, there has to be a union between a man and his wife, and that is the only way that it will work. It's called the law of reproduction. It is the only way that it'll work. A man brings 24 chromosomes, and the woman brings 24 chromosomes. And after 9 months, there's a baby that comes forth because of the law of reproduction. Mercy says, well, natural law, has there ever been a time when your law has been violated? Oh, no, never, never. You know for yourself, it takes a man and a woman to bring forth a child. Mercy says, now remember natural law, you are under oath. She says, oh, no, my laws are never, never been broken or violated. Are you sure? You're under oath. You're about to commit perjury. Natural law says, oh, yes, there was one time. There was one time that my law was defiled. Well, Mercy says, well, tell us all about it. He says, well, it all started back in the Garden of Eden when man fell and sin entered into the world. God was trying to design a plan to bring man into the world without going through and bypassing my law of reproduction and bringing him into this world as a sinless person so he could die for the sins of the whole world. That's what God was trying to do. And he was trying to bypass the law of reproduction. So the man named Jesus raised his hand and volunteers to go down to be the lamb slain from the foundation of the world to take away man's sins. And the only way that Jesus could be born without sin is for the Holy Ghost to bring 24 chromosomes and join it with Mary's 24 chromosomes. And after 9 months, hallelujah, those chromosomes came together, and after 9 months, the incorruptible seed of the Word of God came forth. And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem us that were under the law. Hallelujah. And one of the angels said, and lo, the angel of the Lord came around about them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto him, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. Here's what the angel said, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Natural law says he's the only one that's ever violated my law of reproduction. And Mercy says, well, one last question. What is your appraisal of this man called Jesus? Natural law says he's the best I've ever seen. And the judge says, call your next witness. And the next witness comes down the aisle, raises his right hand, swears to tell the truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth. What's your name? He says, my name is Time. He says, what is your job, Time? He says, well, I'm the TikTok of the universe. I had my beginnings when God said in the beginning, God. That's when I started ticking. And I've been talking ever since. I was there when morning started. I was there when God put the sun in outer space. I was there when God struck the anvil of his will and sparks flew everywhere and there were stars in the sky. I was there when he put the Milky Way on dress display. That's who I am. I'm Father Time. Mercy says, well, have you ever had any dealings with Jesus Christ? He said, oh, yes, I know him. And everything that natural law says is true. He was born contrary to all laws. He was born in poverty with no place to lay his head. In infancy, he startled all the kings. In boyhood, he confounded the doctors and the lawyers. In manhood, he ruled the course of nature. He walked on the water, he healed the sick, and he raised the dead. He was the infinite who became an infant. Back before time started, he laid on the bosom of his father without a mama. In time, he laid on the bosom of his mother in Bethlehem without a papa. When he was born, he was older than his mama and just as old as his father. He was 100% God and 100% man. He is the Ancient of Days. Mercy says, well, time, has he ever done anything to you per se? He said, wow, yes. Before he showed up, I was whole and complete until he came along. When he was born, I was divided. When he was born, I was divided into two sections. Everybody refers to things before him, BC, before Christ. Everything after him is referred to AD, after birth. He says, I've been divided. Every time a person gets ready to write a check or they put a date on a piece of paper, they are claiming that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. They claim that he is. Mercy says, well, how do you describe him today? And time says, well, of everything that I've seen from the beginning of time, he's the best that I've ever seen. Call your next witness. And the next witness comes down the floor and raises his right hand, says, hey, what's your name? He says, my name is Death. Said, Death, what do you do? He says, well, I'm the hound dog of the universe. From the time a man is born, I start tracking him. And when I catch up with him, I put my stinger into him and suck the life right out of him. Everybody I track, I eventually get them. I've never missed anybody. One man named Methuselah, he run from me for 969 years. But I finally caught up with him and stuck my stinger in him and got him. Nobody has ever got away from death. Mercy says, are you sure? He says, oh no, nobody has ever got away from death. Well, except there was a couple. One of them just flat out outwalked me. I didn't feel too bad about it because he was walking with the judge. And he said, about the time I was ready to sting him, he stepped from time into eternity. Said, I never could get him. He said, well, I didn't feel so bad about that one. But the next one, I mean, Enoch, his name was Enoch. He outwalked me. But the next one, his name was Elijah, and he outrode me. I got ready to sting him, and he come up on the River Jordan, and the waters parted, and him and his associate pastor, Elisha, were walked across on dry ground. And he said, I was ready to pounce on him and I was ready to get him. He said, but by the time we got to the other side of the River Jordan, I blinked one time and I blinked and looked and here was a chariot coming down. He said, before I could get my stinger in Elijah, he done jumped on the chariot and took off to higher ground. Said, I couldn't get him. He just outrode me. They left me in the dust. But I tell you, my name is Death. Mercy said, well, do you know this man at the table named Jesus? I was afraid you was going to ask me that. Have you ever had any dealings with him? He said, oh, yes. He said, well, it started in Bethlehem when he was born. King Herod dispatched me to kill all the little baby boys 2 years and under. I tried to get him, but I couldn't get him. I couldn't get my stinger in him. He said, the next time he was laying asleep in the bottom of the ship. He said, I thought then, I had the winds and the waves helping me then. I thought for sure we could get him then. And all of a sudden, Peter had to go wake him up. And he said, when he woke up, he went to the veil of the ship and said, peace, be still. And that was a voice we had never heard before. Never a man spake like this man. We'd never seen it on this fashion. And so peace and the winds and the waves wouldn't happen to me no more. They was a bowing down, so I had to bow down.
Amen.
Mercy said, well, was there another occasion? He said, oh, yes. There was a time when I was dispatched to a place called Calvary. And he says, when I got there, I couldn't believe what I saw. I looked and my job was almost complete. He looked like a bloody mess. He was beat plumb to the bone. His face was marred, or even his mother would not recognize him. There was a crown of thorns on his head, and they were nailing nails in his hands and in his feet. I got ready as he was hanging on that cross to put my stinger in him, and I had to do something that I've never had to do before. Nobody has ever had to make me wait, and I had to wait until he said it was okay. And he said, I couldn't put my stinger in him until he said, it is finished. And when he said, it is finished, I stuck my stinger in him, and we went to fighting. Mercy said, what happened then? He said, oh, don't get me to tell it. Mercy said, you got to tell it. Tell the court what happened. He said, well, we was a fighting sometime between Wednesday afternoon and Sunday morning. Sometime between Wednesday afternoon and Sunday morning. He's got his hand up. He's telling the truth.
Amen.
Death ought to know.
Yeah.
He said, we got to fighting. He said, I'd try to hit him, and then he'd hit me. And he said, before I knew it, sometime early Sunday morning, I looked around, and my stinger was gone.
Yeah. Amen.
I almost jumped off the stage. He said, that's why I look a little different today. I'm just not the man I used to be. Everybody used to be afraid of me. But now I'm just not the same as I used to be. People are not scared of me like they used to be. Those people that believe on him, that defendant, that man named Jesus, them people that believe on him, when I get ready to go get them, some of them's got a smile on their face.
Right.
He said, sometimes I go to get them, and they bust out into singing. Looked over Jordan, and what I see? Coming for to carry me home. And they look like they're not even afraid of me anymore, and they're looking beyond me to another world.
Amen.
He said, I'm just not like I used to be. I said, well, Mercy said, I got one more question. What is your appraisal of this man named Jesus? And Death says, he's the best I've ever seen.
Amen.
Call your next witness. And the next witness comes down the floor. And he raises the right hand, swears to tell the truth. Says, hey, what's your name? He says, my name is the Grave.
Yeah.
Grave, what do you do? He says, well, I'm the landlord of the universe. Everybody that Death brings me, I hold them.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And I'm holding a bunch of them in the grave. I'm holding big names and little names. It don't matter who they are. I hold them and they don't get away. Mercy says, well, has there ever been anybody that's ever got away from you? Oh, no, no, not me. I'm the grave. No one ever gets away from the grave. So think about it now, grave. Think about it now. You are under oath. Says, well, there was one time. Death brought me Jesus. And death looked awful. He looked like he had been into a fight. And he said, grave, do the best you can. Make him as sure as you can. Get him and hold him and hang on. And death said, ain't nobody got away from me. And they ain't about to start now. He said, but one thing we didn't realize. We put him in a tomb hewn out by Joseph of Arimathea. And we rolled a big stone over the rock. We placed the Rock of Ages on the inside. And we tried to hold him in with a stone that he created. He said the mistake that we had was that we tried to rock him in with the stones that he created. And he said everything was all right. Wednesday, everything was all right. Thursday, everything was all right on Friday. But when it started dawning toward the first day of the week, he said, I blinked. And he said the stone started rolling down the side of the hill. The grave said, I looked in there and there was two men in white apparel sitting in there already. And said, they looked at me and said, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen just like he said. He slipped out of my hand. I've never lost anybody. But that one says, well, grave, tell us what you think about him. What is your appraisal of Jesus? He said, well, he's the best I've ever seen. I submit to you this morning, if every one of us in this room could raise our right hand and swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, some of you came from the bar stool. Some of you came from the red light district. Some of you came from a church pew. But every one of you, if you told the truth, you'd have to say, he is the best that I have ever, ever seen. He saved me. If I was to take the stand, old Mercy would ask me, he said, what is your name? I'd say, my name is Jeremy Ballinger. Mercy would say, well, tell me when you was born. I'd say, well, the first time or the second time. Amen. The first time was in 1973. My mama told me all about it. But when I was a 10-year-old boy, I got saved by God's marvelous grace and told mama all about it. So Mercy says, well, what is your synopsis of him? I'd say he's the best I have ever seen. Amen. Revelation chapter number 5. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written, were on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And a strong angel proclaimed with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, nor under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And I held, and lo, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts, the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven heads and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 20 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood of every kindred, of every tongue, of people and nation. And hast made us our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and heard a voice of the angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth, I want you to notice this, every creature. In heaven and on the earth. That means your dog and your cat. One day we'll say, He's the best I've ever seen. Worthy is the Lamb, blessing and honor and glory and power. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and forever. You say, preacher, what are we going to do when we get to heaven? Every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that he's the best that I've ever seen. Hitler will bow and say, he's the best I've ever seen. Abdul-Majid will say, he's the best I've ever seen. Hallelujah. Every knee is going to bow. Right. Our president will say, He's the best right. I've ever seen. Right. And I'm saying this to you this morning, you'll say it too. Yeah. The question is, will you be made to or will you want to? Amen. If you're saved, you'll want to. Right. If you're lost, you'll be made to. So it's real simple, plain, simple. Either he's the best you've ever seen, or if you're not saved, it don't matter. He's still the best I've ever seen. You're not going to find anybody any better. Stop looking. There ain't nobody. I know that's improper English, but hallelujah anyway. There ain't nobody any better than him. Every other god is in the graveyard. Death still got them. The grave still holding them. But there's one that come up out of that grave on that third and appointed day. He is the best I've ever seen.